Hi, good morning, everybody. It's great to be in church, to be in the house of the Lord. I want to thank Pastor Philip and his wife, Irene, for inviting me to share, taking the risk with a new speaker. Praise the Lord. Well, we are from Malaysia, and our church is in Subang Jaya. Our church is about coming to 37 years old, and I was just telling my wife, Gixin, there are quite a bit of similarities. We also have fern leaves in our stage, and so I kind of feel very at home. We are vegetarian pastors. we have two daughters, Grace and of course Ming Hong, the son-in-law. They reside in Sydney, and we have three grandkids, and we are here this weekend because of a wedding of a friend, one of our church members in Perth, and of course we have plans to visit another friend in Margaret River area tomorrow. We are based in Subang Jaya. You know, those of you who are from Malaysia, we like to welcome you and join us for our service. We also start at 10 in the morning, and we have branches in other places as well, in KL, in Sri Damansara, and so on. We actually seldom come to Australia until our daughter decided to reside in Sydney. And of course, we come regularly more to see our granddaughter. Okay, and of course, we met here this weekend basically because of the wedding. Hey, this morning, I'd like to share on the subject of ending your year strong. If we could have the PowerPoints. Hey, why don't we just bow for a word of prayer? Father, I want to commit this word to you. I want to commit this time to you. I want to pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us. There will be a change in our lives. Lord, it will be not just another Sunday, but Lord, this Sunday, for this today, we will have a special encounter with you. For those, Lord, with needs, I want to thank you. You're going to bless them. You're going to speak with them. You're going to touch them. You're going to heal them. And you're going to do a work in their lives. Father, thank you. Thank you. We invite your Holy Spirit to be in this place. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I think of 2017, I can only say that it's great to be alive. There are so many good things God has done for us. This morning, I want to share on this subject, end your year strong. You know, I watched a little bit of advertisement yesterday on the television, and I thought to myself, this is a message for all of us. Yesterday I saw the advertisement, end your year with sales, you know, what you should buy and so on. And a lot of people have great plans how to end their year. And of course, I heard many messages how to begin the year strong. I heard messages how you can grow from strength to strength. But how do you grow from strength to strength if you're not strong? How do you begin the year strong, referring to next year, if you don't end it strong? You know. So God laid this message on my heart, and okay. There are three scriptures in the Old Testament. It talks about be strong in the New Testament, there's also the message to be strong. And I want to highlight particularly Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. My prayer for you this morning is that Zion Fellowship will be a strong church. Your marriage will be strong. Your cell groups will be strong. Your business will be strong. The individuals will be strong. You know, if we cannot end well, the chances are you will not begin well. And that's why I thought this message is so appropriate for this church here. The Lord just laid it on my heart when Paul asked me if I wanted to speak in one of the churches here in Perth. The Lord laid this message on my heart. Hey, talk about how we can end the year strong. And this morning I want to suggest 10 steps. Firstly, the first thing I think we need to do is to review. You know, Gexim and I, my wife and I, at the end of every year, or towards the end of the year, we like to sit down together and think about what things that have gone on in the past 12 months. Where have we gone wrong? What is it that we need to do? Is there some area in our lives that we have not surrendered to God? Is God trying to say something to us? Is there something that we need to do? Is there something we can learn? And so on and so forth. I don't know how many of you are into photography. There are many types of cameras. And one of the types of camera today is what they call a mirrorless camera. You know, I thought to myself, there are a lot of people like that who are mirrorless people, you know. And really, what we all need to do, all of us can really do with a mirror where we can take a look at ourselves and where we are at. All right. How do you know you are not strong? I like to suggest very quickly 10 indicators. Number one, where consistency is missing. You are good at doing something, but consistency is missing in your life. Number two, you have no passion for the word, and you have no desire to pray. Every time the pastor announces about a prayer meeting, you say to yourself, oh, that's for them, not for me. Number three, you no longer invite friends to church. Number four, you do not have a testimony on your lips. If somebody asks you, has God done something in your life? You got no testimony. Number five, you don't really care to make a stand on issues. I was particularly blessed to hear Pastor Philip talk about a sad day for Australia. That's a reflection of a stand, you know. And all of us need to make a stand. Make a stand for what's in the Bible. Number six, worship no longer matters. I travel quite a bit in many places, many churches, many countries. One thing I notice is that in more and more churches nowadays, a lot of people are coming late for worship, as though worship is no longer important. Honoring God is no longer important. You know, we'll never think of being late for a movie. We never think of being late for work. But worship, it's okay. You know, it's okay. After all, it's only God. You know, and I think there's something wrong with us. Number seven, we don't care if we have a home church or not. All right? And I think this is very important because Jesus died for the bride. And we should care about the home church. Number eight, we no longer tithe. All right. Cheating God has become our pastime. Number nine, there's no anticipation for His return. Number 10, we no longer make disciples. His last command is no longer our first concern. And I was just looking at your mission statement. Hey, that's a great mission statement. And friends, believe me, if these things, 10 things are missing, you know, they tell us that it's a sign that we are not strong. I just recently visited one of our pastors in Nepal. He had a liver problem. And because of his liver problem, he showed me his legs, he showed me his stomach. His veins are all becoming black, you know, becoming black. And he went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, it's got to do with your liver. And that's why it's happening. And because of one thing, something that's not right internally, is beginning to manifest itself outwardly. And friends, the 10 indicators is a manifestation of a heart that is not right, a life that is not strong. So I would say one way to end the year strong is to review. Number two, how can we run away from repenting? Hey, there's no better way to end the year than to end it clean. End it clean. Matthew 3 verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in Matthew 4, Jesus began to preach. Did you know the first sermon of Jesus, the first word that came out from Jesus' lips is repent. Repent. You know, there are four different words that describe from which we get the word repent. One of them means to be sorry. The other means to turn back. The other means to regret. Now, the fourth one means to reconsider. Reconsider. You know, sometimes we are so used to sinning. We are so used to sinning that we forget to say sorry to God. You know, sometimes it's like a little child, a young man, you know, so used to being rude that you don't even know you're rude, and you don't know, you no longer think you, hey, maybe I need to apologize. And in the same way, you know, sometimes as Christians, we can be Christians for 20 years, 30 years, and even 40 years. And, you know, we still haven't come to this place where we repent, turn from our wicked ways, really come back to God. Ever since the salvation prayer, we haven't, we have been living our life the way we want to live, and we have not lived a repentant life. So, number one, review. Number two, repent. Number three, remember. There are so many things to remember. I don't know if you're like me, you get a little bit older, and one thing the reason why I love my phone is because I use the apps, the to-do list. I have the 101 to-do, the things I want to do, and because I need to remember. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 5, remember that you were a slave in Egypt, alright? So, remember to keep the Sabbath day. Remember to come to the house of the Lord. And I think, friends, remember what God has done for you. And that's why we are in church on Sunday, you know. That's why he says, remember to keep the Sabbath. And of course, in the New Testament, we keep the first day of the Lord. But too many people make Sunday, you know, very casual. Very casual. You know, if they got some other appointment, if they got a golf game on, your friends ask them to play on Sunday, they give Sunday a miss. You know what's the problem? Because we do not remember. That's what the Bible says. In Deuteronomy 8, it says, when you have eaten, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which is given to you. Hey, when you build beautiful houses, when your herds and your flocks multiply, when your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, and your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Hey, do not forget. Do not forget. Because it's possible. I can tell you as a pastor, hey, when we started as a church, we struggled, we didn't have, our people didn't have, I think when we started the church, we redefined the meaning of the word poor. We were so poor, we couldn't even afford to buy chairs. But I can tell you, over the years in the history of our church, when people began to prosper, two things I noticed. Number one, they talk differently. They no longer talk to you. They talk down to you. And then I realized when they begin to have, they you find that they're no longer in church as consistently as they should be. And sometimes I tell the church, I'm so glad not all of you are rich. I'm so glad some of you don't have, because that's why you're still here. Because when you have, when your silver and gold are multiplied, you forget the Lord your God. That's in Deuteronomy. Okay? Same problem today. And then in 32 verse 7, it says, remember the days of old. And in that scripture it says, ask your father. And it says, ask your elders. And they will tell you. Sometimes you have to ask the old timers. You have to ask the old timers. The old timers will remind you. Will remind you to remember. You know what I like about today's worship service? The song leader kept choosing that song. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, when you remember, you thank you. You say thank you more often. When you don't remember anything, thank what? You know, I thought it was great. I thought it was great. This morning we kept saying thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, there's no need for us to end the year despondent. Hey, I think it's good to sit back and think of the things we can thank God for. For a start, I can tell you, I thank God that I'm in church this morning. I'm fairly healthy, you know. Maybe not as slim as I should be, but I'm fairly healthy. And I think back of our church. Hey, we just bought a building, you know. That's about 2,700 square meter. Last month, we had one lady who suffered from fourth stage cancer, and she was just prayed for, and just recently, and she had a touch of God come upon her. She couldn't move after the service, and just 2 weeks ago, she went to the doctor again, and the doctor says there are no traces of cancer. Wow, you know, I thought to myself, hey, just 2 weeks ago, I was in Nepal. We're starting another three churches. And I can say again and again and again, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know about you. I believe in this this principle of double thank you. Huh? I don't know if you ever heard of it. Maybe we Asians are a little bit, we know it a little bit better than others. You know, when somebody gives you a gift, you say thank you. You know, you say thank you. But when somebody really gives you a good gift, great gift, big gift, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, brother, I know, I just felt God spoke to me last night. I want to buy you a house. Oh, I tell you, I'll thank him. And then tonight, I'll call him again, thank him. Then tomorrow, I will text him and say, thank you. And then Tuesday, I better thank him again in case he changes his mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's why I think it's great to be in church, to just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because the things God has done for us is really just awesome. All right, tremendous. All right. Remember, that's the way to end the year. All right. Okay. Review. Repent. Remember. And then number four, reclaim. You know, remembering is in the mind. When you reclaim, you actually put it into action. Reclaim the promises of God. What is it that God has said to you that He would do for you. You know, the problem with us is many of us, we read a scripture and sometimes God speaks a word to us and we forget. We forget that there is a specific word to us. Sometimes God gives a prophetic word. In a church that believes in the move of the Holy Spirit, we've got all this prophecy. The problem with us is, you know, we get excited for maybe 1 hour after the service. Hey, God spoke to me. And thereafter, never remember a single thing about the prophetic word. Let me tell you what happened about 16, 17 years ago. I was in Perth. Paul, actually this man used to invite me to come and speak at these pastors' conferences and all that. And so I was there. And at the end of the service, because I was one of the speakers, they prayed for me. And then somebody, one of the pastors, prayed a prophetic word over me. He says, "Hong Seng, I see a vision of you planting church in Europe, particularly UK." But at that time when the prophetic word was given, I had never been to UK before in my entire life. Never. I've never met the Queen before. You know, she was a little bit busy and I was busy, so I didn't have time to have tea with her. You know, so we were both busy, you know. So I never been there and so on. But you know, I think after that, a year after that, because our two daughters graduated and we thought to ourselves, hey, this is our last chance for us as a family to have a holiday. As it were, the reason is because once you start work, it's difficult to find time where, you know, all of us could go together. So we actually went to Europe for a holiday. First time. And part of the tour was on the last day, I think last 2 days, the last stop was London. And when I was in London, I remember the prophetic word given 2 years earlier in Perth. You know, and I said to myself, hey, that's a prophetic word of God. And hey, maybe we better do something. So right after the holiday, went back. The next year, I decided to come out to England for the second time. And this time, what we did was, a brother and I, we just rented a car and just drove around UK, different parts of UK, and just to pray and say, God, this is your word. Help me, Lord, this is your word. And we went around telling everybody we met, we want to plant a church. Help, somebody tell us, what does that mean? And hey, to cut the long story short, today we have in different countries 135 churches in 9 countries today because of that word. You know, what I'm trying to say here is, you know, the word is over your life. If you don't do something about it, you don't reclaim it, you will lose it. You will lose it. Last year, already this year in March, we started a Bible study in Poland. Man, I could never imagine being in Poland. And we hope to start a church proper next year. Next month, we hope to start a church in Bulgaria. You know? And it all started with UK. It all started with a vision, hey, doing reverse missions. The West used to send missionaries to us. Now, maybe it's time we do it. My point is, reclaiming that which God has said over your life. And I think that's a great way to end the year. Number five, rebuild. rebuild. I'm talking about character here. You know, we all know there's justification. When we are saved, we are justified. After being saved, Bible tells us we are in the process of being saved. That justified, then we are sanctified. There are things we need to put off. The character that we need to deal with. And then finally, in the presence of God, we will finally be saved. And that's when we are glorified. We are justified, now being sanctified, finally glorified. And hey, it was Chuck Swindoll who said this about ministry. The foundation of ministry is character. The nature of ministry is service. The motive of ministry is love. The measure of ministry is sacrifice. The authority for ministry is submission. The purpose of ministry is the glory of God. The tools of ministry is prayer and scripture. The privilege of ministry is growth. The power for ministry is the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the model of ministry is Jesus Christ. But the foundation, I come back to the first one, the foundation of ministry is character. So, okay, we're going to end the year. But what is the point? What is the point if you are richer? What is the point if you are healthy? What is the point if you you're favored? You know so many things working out well, but you know, as far as you look, when you look at the mirror, you see outbursts of anger. You see inferiority complexes. You see jealousy, and you know the problem with us. The Bible talks about put off and then put on. But, you know, at every altar call, we like to put on, but we don't want to put off. You know, we put on. The speaker talk about something and you know how you'll be blessed. And we come to the altar call, we take it. Yes, Lord, I receive it. We put on. But we hardly put off anything. The things that we need to put off, anger, jealousy, you know, envy. And so on and so forth. Hey, friends, I would say, as we look at how to end the year strong, let's not forget to rebuild our character. Remember, review, repent, remember, reclaim, and reclaim, rebuild. And remember, we are talking about how to end the year strong. And I want to suggest number six, it is renew. I want to say it here, friends, that if we really want to move forward, we need to change the way we think. Renew the our mind. Earlier on, I read the passage, Isaiah 43. It says, do not remember the former things. Don't consider the things of old. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Is there a contradiction? He says, do not remember the old and remember. But because I'm going to do a new thing. And yet at the same time, we are told to remember. Yes, there are things we need to remember. But what does Isaiah means when he was speaking to the people? Hey, yes, it's important to remember what God has done. But if you want to move forward, you need to, hey, recognize that the way God used to do it is not the way God will do it. Did you know that there's a difference? In the early days, when they came out of Egypt, there was the Red Sea. And the way God did it was, He parted the Red Sea, and then there was dry land. But now, what God is saying in Isaiah is this, it's no longer Red Sea, dry land. Now it's dry land, and I will make rivers in the desert. It's almost like the opposite. But you and I got to change it. Change our mind, our mindset. Otherwise, we will get stuck in the old way. I remember when we started the church, there were the usual way of doing it, things. You know, if you want people to know about your church, get a flyer going, you know, make the announcement, boast about where your church is, and so on and so forth. And I remember the first 20 years of the church, our signboard is, my goodness, I don't know, I can't think of anything smaller. Maybe just half of that size. And what we did was, full gospel tabernacle, we stuck it just at the top of the doorpost. And that's all the advertisement we had for church. We didn't have a cross. We didn't even advertise the time of service, just the name. And then we prayed. You know, as I look back up to today, I would say we have visitors coming to church almost every week. Every week. Of course, today it's a little bit different. We have our website. We do have brochures and so on and so forth. But I remember this, that it wasn't the usual way. It wasn't the usual way. The usual way is, if we have money, we will do it. But now, with no money, we will still do it. You know, if we have the man, we will do it. When we started a church, FGT London, we didn't have the man. We didn't have anybody. You know, I didn't know the Queen, and the Queen didn't know me. Okay, we didn't know anybody. And we just hired a car, went around, and just told everybody we are interested in planting a church. And my friend in the Philippines, who heard about it, told his friend. And his friend came to meet me 2 hours before I left for the airport. And that's how we started that relationship. It's a new way. Hey, used to be a Red Sea and there was a parting. Now, that's the old. That's the old. No, forget the old. Do not remember the old. Okay, be grateful for it, but that's not the way. The new way is, it's rivers in the desert. And you know, when you want to talk about beginning a new year, you talk about being strong. I would say to all of us, we need to take time to spend time and just ask God, how do you want me to do it? How do you want me to do it? Whether it be business, whether it be relationship with people or church or even your life. How do you want me? God, what do you want me to do? That's what I mean when I say renew. Renew. Because Isaiah 43 says it's going to be a different way. And I reckon that's the way to end the year strong. Number 7, refuel. The psalmist in Psalm 80 uses that word revive. Revive means to live again. Gixim and I, my wife and I, we have this habit. Every 4 months, we like to disappear somewhere for a prayer retreat. Sometimes we run out of place to go. And we even just book a hotel just down the road and go there for 3 days, 2 nights, and do nothing but just to pray. And so that God would speak to us again. It's important to refuel. I don't know if this means anything to you. Last year there was a crisis. There was a big argument between Nepal and India. And because of that, India really cut off the fuel supply to Nepal. And when we were in Nepal, we noticed two things. They could no longer cook food the way they used to cook because they ran out of fuel. So all the food were barbecued. You know, they had, and of course it took longer to cook the food. So that's number one. Then number two, of course we fly from Kuala Lumpur, KL, Malaysia, to Nepal. We have about 40 churches there. And then after the meeting, we normally fly back. It's a direct flight. But last year, I noticed there was something different. I didn't even realize it. I heard about this fuel crisis and all that. But the plane, after taking off, within half an hour, they announced they were going to land. I was thinking to myself, that's rather unusual, you know. We just took off about 30, 40 minutes, they're going to land. And the reason was, they were going to land in Bangladesh to refuel so before they could fly back to Malaysia. Because Nepal didn't have enough supply of fuel. And that was the first experience for me. So this is, this point is a very important point. I don't know if you heard a story in last year, 2016, that when there was a Bolivian plane that crashed in Colombia and the football team died. Did you hear that? Yeah. Did you read the story? One of the problems the plane, one of the reasons why the plane crashed was because the pilot forgot to refuel, you know, the fuel of the plane. And they just ran out of fuel, you know, and the plane crashed. It was overconfident. So used to flying, and you think you never make a mistake like that. You know, when we came over to Perth, we had an Aussie pilot. I guess he was so used to flying, and he announced that the plane will arrive 1 hour earlier. You know, he's so used to doing it, he just announced, you know, we're going to arrive at 4:30 in the morning. Actually, we were arriving at 5:30, and then later on, he came on to the over the PA system, and he apologized. Sorry, everybody, my mistake earlier on. We are actually landing 1 hour later. And I thought to myself, hey, this pilot, the Bolivian airline, the pilot, he forgot to refuel. He forgot to check that the plane don't have enough fuel for the whole journey. And that's why it crashed. And friends, we do it all the time. All the time. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I find musicians, I don't know. I remember talking to my musicians one day. I said, I notice you all are getting so good. Practicing, the songs are so wonderful, so up to date. Your instruments are getting better. Everything is so good. I said, except I notice you all no longer pray. I notice you all no longer pray together. And sometimes it's like this. Song leaders, we forget to wait on the Holy Spirit. Preachers, we forget to wait on the Holy Spirit. We are so good. We're so used to preparing sermons. We are so good at it. You know, if we forget to wait on the Holy Spirit. Cell leaders, nothing happening in the cell group. We are so used to getting this, doing this, so used to being mechanical, we no longer wait on the Holy Spirit. We pray for people on the altar call. We are so used to praying, and whether the Holy Spirit is with us or not, hey, it doesn't matter to a lot of altar call workers. And friend, we are like that pilot. You forgot to refuel the plane. and we are heading for a crash. And friends, things may look well, you know. The weather is fine. It's not bumpy and all that. But the plane is headed for a crash. Number 8. Restore. 3 times the psalmist says, restore us, restore us, restore us. Restore that which the enemy has stolen. Restore your testimony. You know, sometimes the enemy steals from us. I heard this incredible story. This is a true story. One black man, he was arrested by the police, and when he was in jail, he was abused by the police, and he grew up a bitter young man. And the mother was attending a service one day, and somebody by word of knowledge called up and said, is there anyone here who knows this person's name? And he called up the name of his son who wasn't in the service, and he says, this man at the pulpit says, your son is this age, you know, and so on, and he told him, your son's, God has got a destiny for your son, and he told the woman that God has got plans for your son. The mother went home and told his son, you know, told his son, hey, her son, you better, it's time you get rid of the bitterness in your life. And after being abused, and because he had all this while a dream and a vision to be a policeman himself, you know. And after that word of knowledge in church, the mother went home, told the son cried, turned around and said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to let the devil steal my destiny. And the son finally, to cut a long story short, applied to be a policeman, and today he's a policeman, you know, being trained in the academy and so on and so forth. Hey, there are things that are stolen from us. I don't know whether it's health or wealth or whatever it is. Friends, restore, restore, restore. That's what the psalmist says, cries out to God, restore. And the other thing is, I find it very interesting, in each and every one of these verses, it says not only restore, but it says, cause your face to shine. Cause your face to shine again. Restore your testimony. Restore your testimony. You know, when we were starting as a church in the early days, one of the things we struggled with were, there was a lot of gossip, there was a lot of slander, and there was a lot of, rumor, and so on and so forth. And one of the things we did was just bring it before the Lord and just say, God, I leave it into your hands. Consciously bring it before the Lord. And today, I think we have a fairly good testimony, because God has restored. It's not only just restoring, it's causing His face to shine once again. You know, hey, can I come back to one of the things the song leader said? Hey, today the song leader said a lot of things. I don't know if you realized it. He said, there are so many things that are out of our control. You know, she said this. I don't know even if the song leader remembered this. There are so many things out of our control. It's true. The vote on Wednesday is out of our control. People saying something about church and so on, and preventing people from coming in. It's out of our control. But you know, the way to end the year strong is to ask God to restore. Restore, restore. Then number 9, very quickly, two more things. Number 9, run. Hey, this is my favorite verse. Youth shall faint, they shall utterly fall, but the Lord shall renew your strength, they shall run. Run! Run! You know, I look at the church and I say, hey, the church is too slow. The church is too slow. We need to run the race with passion, with zeal, with. Sometimes I look at the church, we ask our workers to do something, and they take a few days to do it. But if then they go to work and the boss asks them to do it, something, it gets done within 30 minutes. Have you noticed the difference? Huh? You know, sometimes, we see couples dating and they take about 8 years, 10 years and still not married. And you pull the guy aside and you said, hey, is there something wrong with you? Do you know how to propose? And you tell the guy, hey, you're too slow. You know, I went to Mexico. I spoke at a conference and a whole lot of them are talking about planting churches, you know, in Mexico. Great, great conference. Passionate. Plant church, yay! You know, the music, the sermons, yay! Except nobody plants. Except nobody plants any church after that. You know? And I look at it and ask myself, hey, isn't it time we run? Hey, you say you will study a book of the Bible. Isn't it time you actually go to Kurong and maybe buy a commentary on that particular book? Maybe some of you said, you prayed, hey, I like to be like Joseph. Oh, I like to be like Daniel. Oh, I like to be like Esther. Isn't it time you actually, hey, you know, do something and run? Hey, you have always said you wanted to make disciples. You've heard people talk about making disciples. You are sick and tired of looking at a mission statement. Hey, maybe it's time you actually do it. You actually do it. You know, when we stand before God one day, I don't know what do you think is going to happen on the first day. I can just imagine at the door, you know, there will be an angel who will say to you, you know, is there something about Matthew 28? Is there something about that English that you don't understand? Go make disciples. Not just attend Sunday service, but go make disciples. After so many years, you know, so many people come to church and we still don't make disciples. You know, sometimes a lot of people, you know, we of course we appreciate feedback and, you know, and we want to grow, we want to improve. And sometimes, yeah, this person say this, say that. Hey, the worship could be softer, this could be better. And when we have catering, the food could be better and so on and so forth. The building could be better, the air conditioning could be better, the heater could be better. And sometimes as a pastor, I stand before them and I say to the people, hey, friends, I don't think God's interested in your comments. I don't think God's interested. You know why? Because it seems like nobody here understands English. Go make disciples. Hey, it's time to run. It's time to run. Run to the finishing line. When you know the finishing line, when you know Jesus is coming back, when you know the signs are all there, when the signs are all there, you see the finishing line. Why are you taking a stroll to the finishing line? Why? Remember, we are talking about ending the year strong. And lastly, I conclude with this reset. Psalm 80, verse 14. Return, we beseech you, O God, Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. I used to use the Windows computer. And then I switch over to the Mac computer. And today I'm I use Mac a lot. Let me tell you one reason why I like Mac compared to a Windows computer. Just one reason. There are many reasons, but I'll give you just one reason. I'm not very good at computer. When the Windows computer crashes, you find that you have to reload all your programs. You have to I think some of you who use computer will know what I mean. You have to reload other programs and so on. So for Mac, when your system crash, there is a reset button. You just hold it, press it down, hold it, and the whole thing reboot, and
He's there again. Then you look like a computer expert. Hey, I thought to myself, the last thing we need to do to end the year strong is to reset. Because I don't know the details of your life, but if you think it's bad, if something has happened to you and maybe you're bitter, maybe you're angry about something, and maybe you think it can never really work for you, I believe God has got a reset button for us. And it's in that word, return. Return. And let me say this. This word return is not just a returning. This word return is really a prayer. Return, we beseech you. Return, we beseech you. And if I could just very quickly run through it, it's found in this psalm itself. It says, hey, look down from heaven and visit this vine. Hey, in other words, if I really want to end the year strong, I'm going to come before God and say, God, I'm going to acknowledge my need of you. Look down from heaven. Visit this vine. That's me. Visit me. Visit me. And then cry out. Cry out to return to the original purpose. The vineyard which your hand has planted, the branch which you have made strong for yourself. The original purpose. The original purpose. God, you didn't make me just to attend church on Sunday. Your purpose is to make this branch, this vineyard. You intended to make it strong. That's your original purpose. I'm not presumptuous. I'm not asking you to make me something that I'm not. But your word says your plan is to make me strong. And that's why I ask you, Lord, I beseech you. And then he goes on to say, hey, you have burned the branch down, you have cut down, we have perished and you have rebuilt. Yep, recognize the dealing of God in your life. The things that didn't go right with you, friends, is not an accident. It's not an accident. I find it so interesting that in your welcome sheet, in the pastor's heart column, it talks about the pain people go through. And I want to tell you, it's not an accident. It's the dealing of God. It's the purpose of God so that you and I will come back to God. And then in verse 17, your hand be upon the man of your right hand. You make strong for yourself. Hey, when you cry up to God, acknowledge, I need his hand upon my hand. Your hand, God, your hand, let your hand be upon the man of your right hand. You are made strong for yourself. I acknowledge I need your hand upon my hand. Let me tell you, friends, I've been to many churches. I've seen many types of churches. You know what's the problem with many churches today? The number one problem is we are too talented, we are too clever, we are too gifted. And we no longer need the hand of God upon our hand. That's our problem. That's our problem. And then lastly, then we will not turn back. We will not turn back. Then we will not turn back. We will not turn back. I'm not only going to be strong, but I promise you, I will remain strong. I'm not going to turn back. Going to turn back. In closing, how does your 2018 planner look like? You know, bookshops are starting to sell calendars. You know, there's some of these management, calendars, diaries. They have this part about plans for 2018. What is your plan for 2018? Let's be honest. Huh? Holiday in this country. Huh? Hey, this is what I want to see happen in my workplace. Is God featured? Hey, 2018, I want to lose weight. In some countries, hey, I want to get plastic surgery. It's true. It's true. 2018, I want to buy a car. What happened to God? What about God? End the year strong, my friend. Let me close with one scripture. I was just reading just this week itself. Solomon, when he died, his son Rehoboam took over from him. And at the end of Rehoboam's life, you know, it's very interesting. Rehoboam, the scripture says, he did evil. Wow. I don't know. You would have thought he did evil because he's pro-gay, he killed people, he's an adulterer, and so on. But you know, it's so interesting. 2 Chronicles 12, he says, he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. That's all. Wow. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14. I hope you all remember this. Friends, my prayer for every one of us here is that we would be strong. You can ask the musicians to come. Maybe we could sing that song, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, man. And as we sing the song, I just want to invite you, those of you, you know, maybe God spoke to you and you feel challenged and you feel the need to really be strong. I want to give you an opportunity to come and like pray for you. And if there's anybody here who is sick, not well, hey, I want to declare to you, hey, God is still in the healing business. Amen. God is still in the healing business. And I just had a brother just testify in a prayer meeting just 2 weeks ago, you know. He said he noticed nowadays more and more people getting healed in our church. And all kinds of reasons, all kinds of reasons. This year we had a healing crusade in our country. And we saw 21 people got up from the wheelchair. 21. My goodness. My goodness. Let's all stand. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And if you like prayer, just come to the front. Pastor and I, we are more than happy to pray for you and with you.